deep inside each person is a holy longing. This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Thursday, and if by this point in the week people are getting on your nerves, they're just causing you to be crabby, you're moody, they're taking advantage of your kindness and your charity, they're just being petty or picky, don't strangle them. Don't mop off to them. I need you to become a domestic mystic. I need you to remember the words from the musical Les Miserables. One of the songs has these words in it. To love another person is to see the face of God. That's how we deal with people that we don't particularly care for, even the family members who at this particular moment are really bothering us. We see the face of Jesus in other people. That's how you become a saint. Well, I want to share with you some things about spirituality today. Okay? I'm going to share with you from a book called The Holy Longing. It's a great book by Father Rollheiser, one of my favorite books. He talks a lot about spirituality in it. Here's what he wrote, okay? Today there are books on spirituality everywhere, and I can attest to that. However, despite the virtual explosion of literature in the area in the Western world today, especially in the secular world, there are still some major misunderstandings about the concept. Chief among these is the idea that spirituality is somehow exotic, esoteric, and not something that issues forth from the bread and butter of ordinary life. Thus, for many people, the term spirituality conjures up images of something paranormal, mystical, churchy, holy, pious, otherworldly. Can you see why I talk about domestic mystics, dear listeners? And of course, there's this whole trend in the New Age, something on the fringes and something optional. Rarely is spirituality understood as referring to something vital and non-negotiable lying at the heart of our lives. This is a tragic misunderstanding. Spirituality is not something on the fringes, an option for those with a particular bent. None of us has a choice. Everyone has to have a spirituality, and everyone does have one, either a life-giving one or a destructive one. No one has the luxury of choosing here because all of us are precisely fired into life with a certain madness that comes from the gods, and we have to do something with that. We do not wake up in this world calm and serene, having the luxury of choosing to act or not act. We wake up crying, on fire, with desire and madness. What we do with that madness is our spirituality. Hence, spirituality is not about serenely picking or rationally choosing certain spiritual activities like going to church, praying or meditating, reading spiritual books, or setting off on some explicit spiritual quest. It is far more basic than that. See why I keep talking about domestic mystics? Long before we do anything explicitly religious at all, we have to do something about the fire that burns within us. What we do with that fire, how we channel it, is our spirituality. Thus, we all have a spirituality whether we want one or not, whether we are religious or not. Spirituality is more than about whether or not we can sleep at night, than about whether or not we go to church. It's more about whether we can sleep at night than, he says, than about going to church. It is about being integrated or falling apart, about being within community or being lonely, about being in harmony with Mother Earth or being alienated from her. Irrespective of whether or not we let ourselves be consciously shaped by any explicit religious idea, we act in ways that leave us either healthy or unhealthy, loving or bitter. What shapes our actions is our spirituality. And what shapes our actions is basically what shapes our desire. Desire makes us act, and when we act, what we do will either lead to a greater integration or disintegration within our personalities, minds, and bodies, and to the strengthening or deterioration of our relationship to God, others, and the cosmic world. The habits and disciplines we use to shape our desire form the basis for spirituality. Regardless of whether these have an explicit religious dimension to them, or even whether they are consciously expressed at all. Spirituality concerns what we do with desire. It takes its root in the eros inside of us. That's that hunger, that longing, that passion. And it is all about how we shape and discipline that eros. John of the Cross, the great Spanish mystic, begins his famous treatment of the soul's journey with the words, quote, "One dark night, fired by love's urgent longings," end of quote. For him, it is urgent longings, eros, that are the starting point of the spiritual life, and in his view, spirituality, essentially defined, is how we handle that eros, that passion inside of us. Thus, to offer a striking example of how spirituality is about how one handles his or her eros, let us take a look first at Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Few of us would, I suspect, consider Mother Teresa an erotic woman. We think of her rather as a spiritual woman. Yet she was a very erotic woman, though not necessarily in the narrow Freudian sense of that word. She was erotic because she was a dynamo of energy. She may have looked frail and meek, but just ask anyone who ever stood in her way whether that impression is correct. She was a human bulldozer, an erotically driven woman. She was, however, a very disciplined woman, dedicated to God and the poor. Everyone considered her a saint. Why? Well, a saint is someone who can, precisely, channel powerful eros in a creative, life-giving way. The philosopher Soren Kierkegaard once defined a saint as someone who can will the one thing. Nobody disputes that Mother Teresa did just that, willed the one thing, God and the poor. She had a powerful energy, but it was a very disciplined one. Her fiery eros was poured out for God and the poor. That total dedication of everything to God and the poor was her signature, her spirituality. It made her what she was. Medieval philosophy had a dictum that said, every choice is a renunciation. Indeed, every choice is a thousand renunciations. To choose one thing is to turn one's back on many others. To marry one person is to not marry all the others. To have a baby means to give up certain other things. And to pray may mean to miss watching television or visiting with friends. This makes choosing hard. No wonder we struggle so much with commitment. It's not that we do not want certain things. It is just that we know that if we choose them, we close off so many other things. It is not easy to be a saint, to will the one thing, to have the discipline of a Mother Teresa. But if we don't, the danger is that we end up a good-hearted, highly energized person, driven to drink all in life, but in danger of falling apart and dying from lack of rest. Okay? So, a saint wills the one thing. A saint has a balance in his or her life. A saint has a passion. An eros. Don't be afraid of the word eros. I've explained. It's a deep burning that was woven into our life from the moment of conception. It's a fiery desire. Lots of people today don't know how to channel that desire. They channel it the wrong way. They give in to what the media suggests is the best way to live life to the fullest. And we know the media is wrong time and time again. The media offers a cheap substitute for real passion and spirituality. Whoever's listening to my program today, believe me when I tell you, young or old, educated or uneducated, rich or poor, healthy or sick, no matter what your state in life, no matter what cross you're carrying, no matter what mistakes you've made in the past, there is a burning desire inside of you, planted there by God, woven into the very fabric of your being, that if you get in touch with that, if you say yes to the God principle that dwells in you, God can still, no matter how much time you have left on earth, God can still do powerful things in and through you. Absolutely. We do have a holy longing. We have to identify it and then direct it the right way. All right. Here's today's food for thought, written by the famous writer Sidney J. Harris. He wrote, "People who think they're generous to a fault usually think that that's their only fault." Generous to a fault usually think that's their only fault. Clever. You know who I want you to pray for today? I want you to pray for people with AIDS. Terrible disease, isn't it? No matter what you think of their lifestyle, if the AIDS was caused by immoral lifestyle, you need to pray for them, because they have incredible challenges that they're faced with. Dear God, I pray that people with full-blown AIDS will allow you into their lives. If their life is quickly coming to an end, may they be reconciled with you, with the church, with their loved ones. May you give them a peace. May you give them a blessing. May you give them the opportunity to experience that hunger inside of them, finally directed towards you. Amen. You know, yesterday I went on and on so long that I didn't share some humor with you. So lucky you, you get two jokes today. Ready? I'm doing golf jokes this week. Two women were put together as partners in the club tournament and met on the putting green for the first time. After introductions, the first golfer asked, "What's your handicap?" "Oh, I'm a scratch golfer," the other replied. "Really?" exclaimed the first woman, suitably impressed that she was paired up with her. "Yes," the other woman said. "I write down all my good scores and scratch out all my bad ones." All right, today's second joke, another golf joke, okay? Brian met Father O'Connor on the church steps after Mass. "Father, I must ask you something. Sunday is the Lord's Day. Is it a sin to play golf today?" The priest took the young man by the arm and said, "Brian, my boy, I've seen your golf game. And the way you play, it's a sin any day." Want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Just let me hear from you. Let me know you listen to the program. Send me your prayer intentions. Help me with my hospital for the poor in Mexico. Send me a check made out to TASH. Send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Visit my website for some humor, inspiration, more information about my ministry. Website, Father Scott, spell out Father, fatherscott.com. Where make me an instrument of your peace, where there is hatred, let me sow love, where there's injury, pardon, where there's doubt, faith, where there's despair, hope, where there's darkness, light, and where there's sadness, joy. Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore.